Good to see everyone this morning. Of course, that's always true. Every time we come together, it's good to see all of you. It's a little less than we're used to, but it's nice that each one of you are here. I want to thank Chris for reminding me last week while he did announcements that I was supposed to be here today. He asked, you do know you're supposed to be here next week, right? And I nodded my head and said yes, only because I had read the bulletin 5 minutes earlier. Now, I can't blame that because Dave did ask me, and I said yes, and I totally went out of my head and gone. And, you know, it kind of led me to the topic I was thinking about, because life is not always what we expect it to be. This recently came home to me pretty strong, because a month ago, if you'd have asked me if I was happy with my job, I would have said I was content, I was happy. I had been there for 8 years. I'm about to start the ninth year. And I didn't see myself being anywhere else until I retired whenever. 2 weeks from tomorrow, I start a new job. I never saw it coming. Quite honestly, I denied it a few times because I was asked several times and didn't realize it was happening. See, the first time was at Jake and Lucy's birthday party. Now, I will say this was at Chuck E. Cheese's, so maybe I wasn't paying attention. But JJ asked me if I knew anybody that wanted a job as a mechanical engineer. His company was going to be losing two of them before the end of the year. And did I know anybody? And I said, no, I don't know anybody. A couple days later, he called me and said, you sure you don't know anybody that's interested? And I gave him the same response. No, I don't know anybody. About a week went by and he called again and I said no. And I mentioned it to Judy and he said, he's asking if you are interested. And it hit me like a ton of bricks. It's like, oh, I didn't get that at all. You see, I was oblivious to the fact that my son would ask if I would be interested to come to work at the company he worked at. But I was suddenly intrigued. If JJ thought it was something that maybe I would be interested in, I at least ought to ask about it. So I called him to see what was going on. Well, apparently both of the engineers that work in the Midwest region for the company are leaving. One of them's going to retire, and the other one is going to stop working and go be a farmer with her husband in Michigan. Yeah, it kind of hit me odd, too. It's like, okay, that's a different choice, but that's going to leave them with nobody. So I talked to him a little more, and then I talked to his boss, and then I talked to the corporate people, and before I knew it, I thought this was something I definitely needed to do and said yes. Now, I think this will be a good thing. Not only will I get to see JJ occasionally, but I think it would be good overall. But it led me to think, how often are we content to go on in the state that we are, thinking that everything is good, only to be blindsided by an opportunity for something else? And what we do with these opportunities is what makes the difference in our lives. See, Jonah was presented an opportunity to warn the people of Nineveh of God's wrath. Instead, he chose to flee from God. How well did that work out for him? Right? Now, yes, ultimately, after 3 days in the belly of the big fish, he did go and he preached to the people of Nineveh, and they repented, and you know, he was indignant about the fact that they did. He did God's will, reluctantly, and was angry about the result. Why? Well, if you read the book of Jonah, you know in chapter 4 that he prayed to the Lord and said, beginning in verse 2, O Lord, is this not what I said when I was yet in my country? That is why I made haste to flee to Tarshish, for I knew that you were a gracious God and merciful, slow to anger, and abounding in steadfast love, relenting from disaster. Therefore now, O Lord, please take my life from me, for it is better for me to die than to live. An odd result for one who just preached to a city that repented and hundreds of thousands of people were saved. Why? Because he didn't think in his heart they deserved to be spared. And he couldn't tolerate the fact that God would be forgiving of these people. And yes, he did it, but he was mad about it. Do we sometimes grudgingly do what's right in spite of ourselves? Pharaoh was presented 10 opportunities to follow God's plan. He chose to ignore all of them. He turned his back on God only to lose his firstborn son because of his own arrogance. Now, conversely, we see when God came to Abram in the book of Genesis, chapter 12, it says, "Now the Lord said to Abram, go from your country and from your kindred and your father's house to a land that I will show you. And I will make of you a great nation, and I will bless you, and I will make your name great, so that you are a blessing. And I will bless those who bless you. And him who dishonors you I will curse. And in you all of the families of the earth shall be blessed." So Abram went, as the Lord had told him, and Lot went with him. And Abram was 75 years old when he departed from Haran. Did you see any questioning, any hesitation, any bargaining, or any arguing? He just went, packed up his family, and left. And later, after waiting many years for that promised son, God comes to Abraham at this time, changed his name, right? Comes to Abraham and says, "I want you to sacrifice this son." We'll pick up in chapter 22 of Genesis, verse 3. "So Abraham rose early in the morning, saddled his donkey, and took two of his young men with him, and his son Isaac. And he cut the wood for the burnt offering, and arose and went to the place which God had told him. And on the third day, Abraham lifted his eyes, and he saw the place from afar. Then Abraham said to the young men, 'Stay here with the donkey, and I and the boy will go over there and worship and come again to you.' And Abraham took the wood for the burnt offering and laid it on Isaac his son, and he took in his hand the fire and the knife, and so they both went together. And Isaac said to his father Abraham, 'My father?' And he said, 'Here I am, my son.' He said, 'Behold, the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for the burnt offering?' And Abraham said, 'God will provide for himself the lamb for the burnt offering, my son.' And so they went off both together. And when they came to the place which God had told them, Abraham built the altar. And there he laid the wood in order, and he bound Isaac his son and laid him on the altar on top of the wood. And he reached out his hand and took the knife to slaughter his son. But an angel of the Lord came to him from the heaven and said, 'Abraham, Abraham.' He said, 'Here I am.' And he said, 'Do not lay a hand on the boy or do anything to him, for now I know that you fear God, seeing that you have not withheld your son, your only son, from me.' And Abraham lifted his eyes, and he looked, and behold, behind him there was a ram caught in a thicket by his horns. And Abraham went, took the ram, and offered it as a burnt offering instead of his son. And so Abraham called this place, 'The Lord will provide.' And as it is said to this day, 'On the mount of the Lord it shall be provided.' Did anything stand out to you in that? There's always something that I see in there that just amazes me. Other than the fact that he went at all. But as they were about to go, he turned to the two young men and said, "Stay here with the donkey. I and the boy will go over there and worship and come again to you." He knew they were coming back. In his mind, he was convinced God would work this out. He had no idea how or what was going to be done. But he said, "We will come back." If you flip over to the book of Romans in chapter 4, it is said about Abraham, starting in verse 1, "What shall we then say was gained by Abraham, our forefather according to flesh? For if Abraham was justified by works, he has something to boast about, but not before God. For what does the scripture say? Abraham believed God, and it was counted to him as righteousness." But don't be too quick to stop in the chapter right there. If you drop down to verse 23, it says, "But the words, 'it was counted to him,' were not written for his sake alone, but for ours as well. It will be counted to us who believe in him, who raised from the dead the Lord Jesus, who has delivered up for our trespasses and raised for our justification. We will have our faith counted to us as righteousness, just as it was to him." Moving back up to verse 4 in Romans 4, it says, "Now, the one who works, his wages are not counted as a gift, but as his due. And the one who does not work, but believes in him who is justified and is the one who justifies the ungodly, his faith is counted as righteousness. Just as David also speaks of the blessing of the one from whom God counts righteousness apart from his works. Blessed are those whose lawless deeds are forgiven and whose sins are covered. Blessed is the man against whom the Lord will not count his sin." Just a few examples in Scripture of where they were presented an opportunity. Sometimes we like to say a trial, a difficulty, a struggle. It's an opportunity. What are you going to do with it? And I'm not saying what was presented to me is anywhere close to the same level as what these were, but it made me think. And I think that's what a lot of the opportunities we are for. To make us stop and think. Either physically or spiritually, if we don't stop and think, we will get nowhere. Do you ever think that when it said that we were made in his image, what sets us apart from everything else he made? What was it? What part of his image are we made? Does he look exactly like us? Two legs, two arms, a head? A lot of people like to say that, but I happen to believe he gave us the ability to think. And yet so many of us don't use it. For there will always be opportunities presented to us. Most will be unexpected, and most will be unforeseen. Some are good, some are bad. It's not whether or not we will have them, but how are we going to deal with them that makes the difference? For we can face them head on with faith and strength, or we can turn our back on them and continue in our arrogance, believing that we can do everything on our own. For if we face them with faith, God will count it to us as righteousness as well. Next time you're presented with an opportunity, a struggle, a trial, remember, it could be counted to you as righteousness. If you have struggles in your life this morning, or if you just like the prayers of the church, would you like to become a part of the Lord's body, please come as we stand and sing.